The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning to you. It is Thursday, the 8th of August, 2019. This is the Ryan Tubridy Show with me, Maggie Doyle. Our text number, 51551, and our email is ryan@rte.ie. All lines of communication open to you right now. In the papers today, a lot of chat about, a lot of the papers covering the chat about the Home Alone movies, which I'm sure you all remember. Home Alone first came out, of course, in 1990, starring Macaulay Culkin as the child who was left alone by his parents at Christmas. They forgot to take him on holiday. And the original is now being remade for a new generation as Disney mines the archives for content for its streaming service to rival Netflix. This is how the Times puts it today. Not Left Alone is the headline inside the Irish Sun today. And it's a lovely story, really, because, you know, you think, great, actually, it was a fantastic movie. I remember it as a kid. There was a 1992 sequel as well, Lost in New York, generated quite a lot of dollars for Disney at the time, $474 million and then $359 million for the sequel. And Disney secured the rights when it bought 21st Century Fox, and now they're going to make a reboot of it. The lovely add-on to this story is that Macaulay Culkin, who, you know, obviously was a child star in the 90s, then had a few turbulent years as a teenager and into his 20s, but he's all good now again, I think. But he's on Twitter and he's tweeted a photograph, which is just great, because the photograph, he puts the caption, "This is what Home Alone, an updated Home Alone, would actually look like." And it's himself on a couch, on a pretty kind of messy looking couch, in fairness. There's bits of takeaway food all over him. There's game consoles, there's wires, there's his laptop is on his lap. He's wearing a pair of shorts and a vest that's kind of pulled up, showing his belly, and he's eating something out of a bowl, and he just looks like a bit of a mess. But I think he is, you know, taking the mickey out of himself, and he's saying this is what it would actually look like. And then his following tweet is, "Hey, Disney, call me." And it's been retweeted a couple of thousand times, which is quite right. So we like to see Macaulay Culkin still having a bit of fun with the Home Alone franchise. That's good for him. Maybe he'll make an appearance in it. They could put him as like one of the burglars or something, couldn't they? That'd be quite fun to see him as a cameo. Elsewhere in the papers, this fascinating story. I do love a good con man story, because they're always kind of just really great. You know, there are kind of so many depths to a con man story. And this one inside the Times today, and it's about this guy who posed as a Swiss banker and an MI6 spy to defraud his lover of her life savings. He's been jailed. Okay, he's 46, this guy called Mark Acklam, sentenced to 5 years and 8 months for taking more than £300,000 from Carolyn Woods, 62, who told Bristol Crown Court that he had destroyed her life. Now, the 46-year-old Mark Acklam turns out that his kind of con man status started at a much earlier age. And they do a little thing here, the trial of deception from London to the Costa Blanca. And they start off in 1990, when he was just 16. This guy convinced the Leeds Permanent Building Society that he was a 25-year-old stockbroker on £214,000 a year. And they gave him a mortgage of £466,000 for a home in South London. Then, aged 18 in 1991, he stole his father's American Express gold card. In 3 months, racked up £11,000 in debts and owed £34,000 to a private jet charter company. He also swindled a sixth form teacher out of £13,000 for an investment in a fictitious film company. It goes on. The trail of deception follows him all the way through the 90s and into the noughties. He goes to Benidorm. He marries a woman, has children, but comes back to the UK, meets this poor woman, Carolyn Woods. By 2013, he'd left her penniless and went back to Spain to his wife and two daughters, where he was arrested. It's fascinating. And it reminds me, actually, I recently watched a series on Netflix called Dear John, starring Eric Bana as a guy, a real guy, actually. And it was a series with Connie Britton in it as well. She was very good. She played the woman who he had conned. It's fascinating, the stuff that he got up to. A true story as well. Good news for train passengers who do not like sitting next to somebody's feet. Putting feet on seats is not allowed. And Irish Rail do not allow it. And they have been warning people that they will be fining if you put your feet on seats. And the Irish Mirror has discovered that Irish Rail isn't joking about their famous "seats are not for feet" notices. They've been cracking down and catching and fining people, fining €2,250 in the last 3 years. The figures on fines collected were only available from October 2016, so it looks like the rail inspectors have been cranking up their enforcement since then. Quite right. I know it's tempting sometimes if you're on a long journey. Carriage is quiet, nobody's sitting opposite you. It'd be nice to just sit back, relax, put the feet up. But they are not for feet, the seats. Particularly if you've, if this time of the year, and if you're wearing flip-flops or, you know, the actual feet are out, not even covered by socks and on the seat. That's really quite disgusting. The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe was one of my favourite books when I was a kid. And whenever I see anything about the books that I liked as a kid, I always think to myself, I must go back and read them again. Go back to, say, Enid Blyton, you know, Mallory Towers, loved them, The Famous Five, all of those. And I have sometimes picked up the odd kids book and read it back again. And it is just as magical as you remembered, albeit a little bit differently now with looking at it through adult's eyes. But the good news this morning is that The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, the classic story, of course, of siblings who accidentally discover a land in the grip of the evil white witch, has topped a list of Britain's 50 most read books, 33% of adults enjoying the tale. First published in 1950, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe is closely followed by Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, which is on 30%, and then Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone comes in third place on 29%. The result was a survey of 2,000 adults, which found that British bookworms will immerse themselves in 696 books over a lifetime, an average of 11 books a year. I'm not sure what number I'm up to at the moment. Where are we? August. I'd say definitely in the summer I seem to read more. I haven't been on holiday. Well, I've been on one holiday, but it's more like that. It's just nice to sit outside, I think, in the sun and read a few pages. But yeah, I'd probably like to try and read at least one, if not maybe two in a month. So I'm probably a little bit more than that. Any of those of you who watched the Chernobyl series that was on Sky, which was just a fantastic drama, starring our very own Jessie Buckley and others, you'll be interested to read this. From the BBC. It's a new vodka that's on the market, and it's actually been made from inside the Chernobyl exclusion zone. So Professor Jim Smith is quoted in this. He's based at the University of Portsmouth. He was part of a team behind the spirit. They made the spirit. Made up of a team of researchers who've worked in the exclusion zone for many years, and they've made this product, which is actually the first consumer item to come from within the abandoned area around the damaged nuclear plant. The vodka, there's a picture of it here. It's from the Chernobyl Spirit Company. The name of the vodka is Atomic. Spelled with a K at the end, Atomic. I'm not too sure now. I'd be going for that with a tonic and a slice. But they do hope it's all for good cause. They hope to use profits from selling it to help communities in Ukraine still affected by the economic impact of the disaster. Professor Smith says there is no more radioactive substance in this than any other vodka. Any chemist will tell you when you distill something, impurities stay in the waste product. So we took rye that was slightly contaminated and water from the Chernobyl aquifer and we distilled it. We asked our friends at Southampton University, who have an amazing radio analytical laboratory, if they could see any radioactivity. They couldn't find any. Everything is below their limit of detection. Well, I just hope that their Geiger counters are working. That's all I can say. I'm sure they are. But there you go. A new vodka on the market if you fancy it. This is a fascinating and a little bit of a kind of scary story, really. If you have a fish tank at home, if you've got the goldfish and you're in the middle of feeding them this morning, giving them their breakfast, watch out. Inside the Irish Daily Mirror, this headline, cleaning out the family fish tank nearly killed me. Mum poisoned by coral toxin. A mum nearly died after cleaning her fish tank when she was poisoned by a deadly toxin released by the coral. Katie Stevenson ended up feverish and breathless and started hallucinating and shaking after being exposed to palytoxin. She ended up being isolated for 48 hours while they looked after her in hospital. And it was all because she started scrubbing the coral because she was cleaning out the fish tank. But of course, coral is a living organism and it releases this palytoxin if attacked. It causes respiratory and heart distress. Just 1 gram can kill 80 people. So don't touch the coral if you have some decorating your lovely fish tank at home. I think that's what the message in that story is. We've heard a lot about the Italians cracking down on those poor tourists. How many of us have been tourists in Rome and Venice? And well, now you've got to be a little bit worried because, you know, they've brought in these new rules about not sitting on steps and not jumping into fountains and all the rest of it, because there's far too many tourists around. You can't sit down and eat your own hang sandwich if you have it packed in your bag. You've got to, you know, they obviously want you to sit in a restaurant instead, but they're fining tourists, and they've said they're going to do this. They've actually started doing it, on-the-spot fines. And this piece in The Times says, when Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck walked hand in hand down the Spanish steps in the 1953 romantic comedy Roman Holiday, they introduced much of the world to the delights of the Eternal City. Today, many Romans wish they hadn't. The famed steps are now so crowded that officials have introduced the ban on sitting there in an attempt to preserve decorum. Fines start at €250 and rise to €400 for anyone who dirties or damages what has become known as one of Rome's most popular tourist spots. And this guy here quoted, he says, he's president of the Piazza di Spagna Traders Association. He says, it's as though you invite someone into your house and he sits down, takes off his shoes and puts his feet on the table. Without respect, there is no decorum. So there you go. If you're heading off to Rome now for a week or whatever, just be careful. No sitting on the Spanish steps. It could cost you a lot. It could cost you the cost of your flight home. And elsewhere in Italy, cruise ships have been banned from Venice. Now, I don't know if you saw the video there that was out a few weeks ago, and it was the cruise ship bumping into, wasn't it, the side of the actual wall, like, and it was very frightening. And cruise ships, some of these are huge, massive. Well, they've been banned now from Venice after a decades-long battle. They've been blamed for damaging the city's delicate foundations and also blighting its famous skyline. Now, residents in Venice have succeeded in getting cruise ships banned from docking there. The Italian government yesterday announced it would begin rerouting the liners away from the historic city centre. Well, I'm sure people will still be able to maybe visit Venice, but they just won't be able to actually just get off their boat and be right there in the city. So that's it. Also, I'll quickly mention this one on the front page of the Irish Times that we saw. Smartwatches linked to spike in college exam cheating. Universities have recorded a sharp increase in the number of students wearing smartwatches, which are banned, in exam halls. Most third-level institutions prohibit the use of Fitbits, Apple Watches and other devices which allow users to upload and access information. Like maybe the answers to the questions? Quite rightly, they should be banned. But the article goes on to say, despite the advent of technology, old-fashioned approaches to cheating are still favoured by a very small minority of students. Students have been penalised for smuggled notes into the exams or for writing on their sleeves or hands. On a positive note, latest figures suggest, though, cases of plagiarism seem to be on the decrease. That's good. Honest students, that's what we want. We'll take a quick song here now. This is Bjork. And it's oh so quiet.